The Patriots Friday edition of The Big Show. We're talking about the Celtics as well with the big win last night against the Miami Heat. A very satisfying win. Let's face it, we're all laughing our ass off here in New England today.
Yeah,
that's
people
what
think
we are.
It's pretty damn funny.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden.
It is pretty funny.
See how funny it is after Thanksgiving.
Well, we'll see. It's pretty funny. Some people taking me to task for the point that I made about Rondo, and I probably exaggerated when I said that, you know, his game regressed to whatever during the playoffs, because he was pretty good during the playoffs. He was not great in the Lakers series.
No.
Not great in the Lakers series.
It was not as good a matchup.
No, but he was not as good. I think he's a different player this year. I think that was the what you saw last year with Rajon Rondo, is that there was inconsistency. He there were nights when he was tremendous, but he was a little bit inconsistent.
But I think
this performance that we've seen so far this year, I think he's taken it to the next level.
I think that there's a level with the point guard, same way with a quarterback, that you have only so much you can do. We're watching this right now at Gillette Stadium with Tom Brady. There's only so much you can do if guys aren't open, or if guys aren't in their spots, or if they're well covered. It's difficult. And I don't think that in the playoffs the Celtics had, you know, as many good opportunities. That's just me talking, though.
Yeah, but you expect the point guard to do a lot more. You expect the quarterback to do a lot more. Why don't you just blame the whole, you know, when things don't go well with the Patriots, on Matt Light?
Well, he's got big shoulders. He can take it. It was that Moss?
Was that?
He's got big shoulders.
Yeah, well, why don't you blame Matt Light? Just blame Matt Light.
If Matt Light doesn't have a good game Sunday, they're in trouble. Big trouble. And I'll tell him that right to his furry face.
Now, why don't you do it right now? He's on the line with us right now. Yes, he is.
You know what? We need more love in the world. We need more love.
Oh, no, hey, don't blame us for what happened last Sunday with you guys. Don't be blaming us.
No. I would never do that.
No.
You know, I want a little bit more of a loving feeling in the.
Now let's see if we can do it over the next few minutes. Tom, you want to sing? Go ahead, sing it.
It's love, sweet love.
That
go ahead, man.
That just sucks. All right,
they're clicking the radios.
Hey, before we get to the love, before we get to the love, what the hell happened last week?
Well, you know, it wasn't obviously. It was a bad game. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, you guys had to witness that, unfortunately, and we had to live through it. But you know, it was just a bad performance.
Do you? How much? There was so much talk about bad preparation last week. When exactly did the bad preparation happen? Because I've heard you guys say in the locker room, you know, we had a great week of practice, and then we didn't play as well. Oh, we had a crappy week of practice, and then we played better. That to me, it was kind of a red herring that people said, oh, they had bad practice, so they played badly. Did you put stock in that?
Well, I mean, a little bit. I mean, yeah, you want to go out and you want to have a great week of preparation, but you can't always, you know, that's not the end all to it. I mean, we didn't execute at all. We obviously didn't start the game out the way we wanted to. We didn't get any production early in that game like you need to do when you're playing on the road. And then, you know, we had to play catch up for the most part of that game. So, you know, just, you know, all around bad. And I'm not going to point to, you know, practice being the reason that we didn't go out there and play well, but it obviously didn't help us any either.
I just wanted to follow. Yeah. Can I have a follow-up?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Jeez. I'm sorry, Tom.
Can't wait till my food gets here. I'll be in a better mood. Practice this week, much better, I would guess.
Well,
no, it's still bad.
Perfect, but I guess I'm setting myself up for failure here if it doesn't go one way or the other. But no,
we're the media; we won't remember next week. Don't worry about it.
No, it's you want to go out and have a great week of preparation. That doesn't guarantee anything. You know, I mean, they're out there doing what they can this week to have a good a week as prep as they can too. So, you know, I think really ultimately it always comes down to how well you execute especially when you're playing on the road, and especially when you're playing against a team like Pittsburgh. You know, they're not going to give you anything. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do to improve on, you know, obviously that performance last week, and then to go into Pittsburgh and be able to play a good game. You know, it's going to take a huge effort from everybody.
All right, I heard you talk earlier this week about the look that Belichick gave you this week. The look, how nasty was that?
Well, you know, you can imagine, you know, what it's like to go into the film study portion of it after a game when you play as poorly as we did. I mean, it was ugly. It wasn't a good outing. There wasn't anything good to say. Now, you know, there's really not a whole lot of attaboys given out even when you win. You can kind of, you know, imagine what it was like in there. But, you know, look, I think the important thing for us, and, you know, I think this is how it's been every year, but regardless of whether you win or lose, you have to get ready for the next opponent. I mean, you don't have time to sit around and you know, pick apart every little thing. I mean, you got to make the big corrections. You got to take care of some of the little things that you didn't do so well. And then you got to get, you know, moving on to the next opponent. So, you know, we to sit and talk about all that stuff, I mean, isn't going to help us out this week. I mean, this week, you know, it's all about Pittsburgh.
Matt, can I throw a stat out at you?
Oh, God.
Can I throw a stat out at you, please? And could you offer some explanation for this? Your team's offense at home versus the road. You average 125 yards more in offense at home than you do on the road this year. Is there any explanation?
Aside from the obvious, you know.
What is the obvious?
I don't think so. I mean, look, it's not a mystery. When you're playing on the road, it's a tougher situation. I mean, all around, especially when you're playing on the road, you know, against a team that is as good as what we've seen on the road, and then conversely, when you as an offense don't go out there and put your best foot forward. So, you know, it's a number of things. You can't ever pinpoint one aspect of it, and, you know, those stats are fun to look at on paper, but, you know, you can also make a you don't need to score or have as many points on the road as you do at home if you win the game. You can win the game without doing that, I'm sure there's a stat out there where people have gone out and not had as much production being on the road and still won games. So, you know, however we got to do it to win the games, we got to do it, but we obviously got to play better than we did last week.
All right, we're talking with Matt Light. I noticed that Casey Hampton, they move him out of that nose spot. Very similar, I guess, to what you guys have been doing with Vince Wilfork. What problems does that present, identification problems, for you?
Well, I mean, you know, the identification part of it isn't too difficult. I mean, you know, it's not like the Steelers have, you know, 30 different packages that they throw out there on the field. I mean, they pretty much line up and play their defense. And, you know, for the most part, you're going to see a 3-4 front, or you're going to see, you know, a four down look, you know, with a lot of different guys that are, you know, more of the linebacker type than what you might normally see. But really what they do is what they do, and it's not going to be too difficult to know, you know, what personnel they're in or what package that they have on the field. It really comes down to, you know, to out-execute them and block them wherever they end up, you know. So they've got some big playmakers on defense, and, you know, they're very good at what they do and very disciplined.
Hey, you said they do what they do, but part of what they do with Dick LeBeau, Matt, is to confuse with that zone blitz. Is communication an issue at Heinz Field and picking it up more than other stadiums? And does communication enter into the zone blitz, or is it just based on instinct? How do you react to it?
Well, I mean, there's definitely a lot of communication that takes place up front. And, you know, playing on the road, you're definitely going to have more of an opportunity to screw some of that up at times, you know, if you don't if you don't recognize it individually, and then, you know, number two, communicate it across the front. So, yeah, I mean, it can get a little confusing when it comes to the communication end of it, but I wouldn't say it's any more so than anywhere else. For the most part, you know, that's what your practice preparation, you know, helps you out with, and that's what your film study helps you out with, and, you know, you just got to be able to put it all together when the bullets are flying for real.
Matt, when they put out the game plan for you, are you similar to most offensive linemen that when you see a good dose of running in the game plan that you appreciate that, or more geeked up about a game knowing that maybe you can get off the ball and establish long, time-consuming drives as you have from time to time this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, my playbook's actually paint by numbers, so I'm only halfway done with it right now.
Do you have trouble? Do you have trouble with it?
Yes. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard to stay at the line, but
sure it is.
I think the game plan, you never know exactly how it's going to go in any game ever, right? So, you know, when you go into it and you're looking at it during the week of preparation, I think it just comes down to how well can you execute each play. I mean, as an offensive lineman, sure, you'd love to establish that run and be able to run the ball, you know, 20, 25 times a game, you know, keep them off balance, have a good mixture of run and pass and play action. But, you know, at the end of the day, they might put you in a situation where, you know, you don't have the luxury to do that. So really, I mean, the play call is a play call. It just comes to how well you can execute it.
Was Logan Mankins, was his tongue hanging last week? Was he dog tired? Or is really camp in the first seven games a waste of time for an offensive lineman?
No, you know, I think it's I think you know, the camp end of it is it's definitely needed for most of us. But you know, I think Logue did a great job of keeping himself in shape, and obviously didn't have a problem being out there. And you know, I'm sure it wasn't perfect for him, but he you know, he did a great job. And obviously on the mental side of it, you know, he understands this offense and understands, you know, his role and everything else. So that wasn't an issue. I think that's part of it, you know, when you first come back, you know, getting back into the rhythm and the snap count and some of the plays and getting the refresher on all that stuff is pretty important. But the physical side takes a little bit more, but he did great with it.
Matt, when you watch the Steelers on the film defensively, is there one player? I mean, they have a lot of big names on this crew. Is there one player that just jumps out on the screen at you and your offense that you need to really pay attention to defensively?
Well, I think it's probably the guy that, you know, stands out to a lot of people. You know, Troy Polamalu is a dynamic player, you know, at his position, the things that he does on that defense. And, you know, he's fun to watch. I mean, you hope you're not watching him make too many plays when you're playing against him, but he is a dynamic player. But they've got a lot of really good players, a lot of really experienced guys, a lot of guys up front that are just tough-nosed, good football players. So, you know, hats off to them and their style and how they play it. You know, it's definitely going to be a big test. It's a great test for our offense, you know, to be able to go on the road, you know, play a good team like this and hopefully come out with a win.
How about James Harrison? Because he doesn't look that big, but it almost works to his advantage. You almost get the feeling sometimes he's crawling out there, but he's so quick coming off the edge.
Yeah, he's got a great combination of leverage, built-in leverage and speed, and you know, he's another one of those tough guys that, you know, he's out there every play. He's 100 mile an hour. He's a relentless style rusher, and he's a great player.
We had to ask you this because we were talking a little bit, because we've seen you in so many different looks over the years since you've been here, and now the beard is growing heavily. Are you trying to like win the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest growing beard? Do you fertilize it?
Yeah.
I mean, this one seems to be growing a lot quicker.
That's going to be right through the face mask.
Right, a lot quicker.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a little out of control.
Yeah.
I'm going, yeah, you know, 'tis the season, the Kris Kringle, you know, Santa Claus thing. I do have a lot of grays, as a matter of fact. You know, I've got a red.
Got Just for Men for that. Keith Hernandez.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not real fond of the graying aspect of it, but you know, I think it'll serve a purpose. You know, when we get into this colder weather and late in December, you know, January, hopefully the playoffs and all that stuff, it'll fit in nicely.
They haven't ruled against. I mean, you worried about that thing getting pulled by Harrison coming off the edge or anything? Because they could do that.
But I'm thinking maybe I should use Head and Shoulders because it's got a strong. You know, Troy's got great hair, and obviously it's a blast for him.
Yeah, but what could happen is if he engages Polamalu between his beard and Polamalu's hair behind the helmet. I mean, this could be a whole entanglement kind of thing happening.
You know, I couldn't figure
it's possible.
I'm watching last week, and the pregame warm-up, Polamalu's got his hair up, and you don't even see it. I said, God, he got a haircut. The game starts, he lets his hair down.
I'm the same way when the show starts.
but the hair is legal in the game, right? It's part of the body, so you could actually. I mean, somebody could grab your beard and pull it if they wanted to off the line, right?
They could. They'd probably lose a finger because it's so close to my mouth. I mean, anything that comes near my beard just gets eaten.
See, I could never understand that. All these
Dante, they're pulling my beard out there, man.
All these guys that are playing with hair, I would think that Troy Polamalu someday would just yank it or whatever. Al Harris for years hair.
Larry Johnson.
Larry
Johnson.
Yes. How old are your kids now? Are they smart enough to not do chin-ups on that thing?
Yeah, they're not real fond of it, though. You know, it's very scratchy. As a parent, and I think a lot of parents can relate to this, when you have, you know, especially with your first child, that smell of a baby, and I always went for the neck. For some reason, the neck of a baby is like just it's the coolest part on their little bodies, you know. So,
nothing like a baby neck.
Oh, it's unbelievable, right? So, and I'm not a weirdo. I mean, that's just kind of, I think it's a parent kind of thing.
It is.
you know, as my kids got older, you know, whenever we're wrestling around and I'm, you know, we're tickling them to death and everything, I still go for the neck. But they're not digging that when dad's got the beard, you know. It's not as cool.
Well, just imagine seeing that thing come at you in the middle of the night after they've gone to bed. I'm just going to go give the kids a kiss.
All right, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you with this because I want you to feel good about yourself, and I don't want you to feel down at all on yourself. We found this off of Barstool Sports. A Kentucky man, large man, has a beard very similar to yours, all right? A lot of facial hair. A Kentucky man claims he was forced to eat his own beard following a fight over a lawnmower. Only in Kentucky. Harvey Westmoreland says that he and his brother, Joseph, used to think highly of Troy Holt and James Hill. Oh, those kids in Kentucky, they're something. That was before the May argument that ended with the bizarre beard-eating incident. They get in a fight. Guy loses the fight. They cut off his beard, and they forced him to eat it.
You know, I just had to wonder if the rules of the fight were set before they got in the fight. Because, you know, if we're sitting around wondering, okay, listen, if I win, you know, you got to do this, and if you win, you know, I mean, how do you come up with that?
Well, here's the rules. They were fighting over a lawnmower. Troy offered to buy it for me for $250. Mm-hmm. The guy said, I paid $20 for it. Uh-huh. He thought I was trying to cheat him. Well, maybe $230 difference here. One thing led to another, and before I knew it, there were knives and guns, and everything just went haywire.
And the beard was in my mouth.
Right. And when the knives and the guns are in it, he says his brother had a mark on his neck where a knife was held. Harvey Westmoreland's loss was more permanent. They cut his beard, forced him to eat it. He said that Westmoreland said Holt and Hill let them go, but threatened to kill them if they called the police.
Well, that'll teach you, man. Next time something awkward happens, yeah, just threaten to have somebody eat their own beard.
That'll make you itch a few hours later, huh?
Oh, that is just sick.
That's classic.
Double mouthwash for that one.
That is sick. All right, have a terrific night in Pittsburgh on Sunday night. We'll talk to you back here next week, man.
I appreciate
Take
it.
Care,
hey,
man.
Listen, don't forget the net raffle.
Yes, give that out again. Give that out again.
Yeah. Netraffle.org, and it's a chance to go to the game, about a week and a half, I guess, from now on the 21st against the Colts. Four tickets. The game, after the game, win a great painting by Brian Fox and Be on the Field, and Tom and Wes are going to sign it. So, really cool package, and we're hoping to raise a lot of money for
that's
the
terrific. They get to go out in the field, too, and those guys are out there. That's a terrific package. Tremendous. Netraffle.org. All right, Matt, we'll talk to you next Friday.
Take care, man.
See you later. Matt Light. We take a quick break. We'll get back to the phone calls at 617-779-0850, and all three of us will give you our picks for the Patriots game on Sunday.